the people pleasing thing is such an issue for me.
I feel you, girl. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
I've been learning to better catch myself when I'm having that big emotion come out, where it's coming from, if I'm saying yes because I want to make him happy, or if I'm saying yes because I'm actually excited about it. Mm. It's really hard to catch yourself like at the edge of like maybe getting triggered and having a big spiral. Mm-hmm. But like being able to catch that and like communicate that.
Hello, lovers. Welcome back to Girls Gone Deep. I am V. And in this episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with two amazing couples at Hedonism Swing Breakers who were so generous with their time and energy to share a little bit about their journeys and what works for them on these lifestyle vacations, particularly Hedo. That's the lens through which we were looking at it. But I found that these were so incredibly applicable to any lifestyle events, any play party, anyone in that lifestyle, actually. So the first couple that we will be hearing from ran into a couple of speed bumps at their first year at Hedo. And so this was their second year at Hedo. And they share some of the tips and tricks that they were able to come up with to make this year more successful. And we have another couple who have been together for 24 years in the lifestyle for 5 and coming to Hedo for 4. And they share why this was their best year yet. So we have a ton of nuggets in this episode, so get ready for that. We do not have Elle in this episode, sadly. She was not at Hedo, so you will not be hearing her voice, but you will be hearing her on next week's episode. We recorded these on travel microphones in Hedonism, so the audio is a little bit lacking from our typical audio quality, so just keep that in mind as you listen, but you're in it with us at Hedo. So really quickly, before we get to those interviews, let's take care of a little bit of housekeeping first. You can check out girlsgonedeep.com. That's where you'll find all our merch and featured episodes. You can also check us out on Instagram at Girls Gone Deep Pod. Please give us a follow. We love when you join the conversation. We're always running polls and you can always DM us. We do answer. So please join the conversation. Also, you can always email us at girlsgonedeep@gmail.com. Thank you to our sponsor, Horrible Life. It is the card game of all things Never Have I Ever, Sex and Kink. You can get your first deck with the code GONEDEEP on horriblelife.com. That's WHOREIBLE life.com. Wow, that was really tough to do. I did it. Yeah. So use code GONEDEEP and get 10% off your first pack. And last but not least, use the link in our description to stock up on all your sexy supplies at woomoreplay.com. That is our affiliate link, and we appreciate your support. So without further ado, listen to these juicy conversations. We go super deep. So we are here with the Turk and Super Slut. Thank you guys so much for doing this. We met for the first time this year, but you guys were here last year, right?
Yeah, it was our first time and it was quite the roller coaster, but overall a great experience that made us decide to come back for a second year.
So why was it a roller coaster?
Oof. So it's a bit of a loaded answer, but... So we've been in this space for like a long time separately, but together was quite new. I met the Turk.
What, you don't call him the Turk in bed?
No.
Big Turk.
Okay.
You're sponsored by the candy.
So I met him like maybe 8 or 9 months before we went to Hedo. But we had met at a play party when he was married and poly. And then I was kind of thrust into a very challenging dynamic because he was the first relationship I'd ever been in. Mm. I'd been in the space for a long time, but as like a unicorn solo person just exploring on my own. Mm. And then 8 or 9 months into our relationship, where I was a secondary to him and his wife, they separated, and this happened 1 month before we went to Hedo. Mm. So we only had 4 weeks of like time together, and we didn't really have like a great conversation. We just never had like a conversation of like, what is our relationship now? Like, what is our dynamic?
Well, and you had a relationship with her as well?
Not necessarily. We were friends. Uh-huh. And I was.
So you had to mourn a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of heartbreaking because like it. I always cared for her, and because of their breakup, there's, you know, some harsh feelings there, especially on her end, and yeah.
But it was also for you, at least based on what you had been sharing, it was quite the shock because you were not looking for a partner, you were not looking for a boyfriend, you
had
been sexually active for, whatever, 15, 16 years, and in the space a lot as a solo person, very happy, and we just met at a friend's party, at a private party, we clicked really well, we started dating, and like all the things we learn when we were young in our first relationship, think about all those lessons plus the complicated dynamic we got into. So it was a hard setup.
Mm. So you were thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
Because you found this dude that you like.
Yes.
Finally, that like you're like, well, not finally, but whatever.
Yeah,
like,
no, it was a big moment for me.
Yeah. And so you guys come here a week after you guys are separating from your wife.
About a month, yeah.
I meant a month. Thank you. And so how was that week for you guys? Did you feel like you didn't have the right conversations coming into it?
We didn't have the right conversations. I don't think we knew we didn't know what to expect. Like, we didn't know it was going to be so sex forward. And even though, like, we thought we'd be prepared because, like, we've been to play parties, we've had play with other people and stuff. Mm-hmm. It is so different when you're here 7 days a week and there's a party happening from the moment you wake up until you go to bed.
Yeah. And the liquor is flowing.
Yeah. Emotions get up. And then on top of that, we're, like, thrust into a situation where we didn't have the right conversations about boundaries, about what our comfort level is with, like, anything really.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of like trial by fire. Mm. Which is hard.
Heat is great though, like the environment is great and people are generally very respectful, caring. Like, we actually met a bunch of people that we really liked, then we went and visited them, so we made good friends along the way. But Super Slut has like this whole difficult setup, plus she's really empathetic and really cares about other people's feelings and very much a people pleaser. So she would preemptively worry about stuff, about disappointing me, about like issues, and not let me, like not give me a chance to actually say what I'm feeling or not believe that I'm okay, that I'm happy, blah, blah, blah. So there was like a lot of things that trip was like a good start to. I can't remember when we got into therapy, but we got into like couples counseling, and she also started doing solo counseling, so there's a lot of work that we're doing, she's doing, so all of that has been a remarkable improvement. But that trip in hindsight came at a, like, we were still glad that we came, because we came back.
Yeah, we wouldn't have come back. It was absolutely terrible, but like the lows were low.
Yeah.
So can you tell me something that you learned Super Slut by yourself in therapy, and then something that you guys learned together in therapy, like a nugget or takeaway for our listeners?
Mm-hmm. I think for myself is that I need to the people-pleasing thing is such an issue for me.
I feel you, girl. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I've been learning to better catch myself when I'm having that big emotion come out. Where it's coming from, if I'm saying yes because I want to make him happy, or if I'm saying yes because I'm actually excited about it.
Mm.
It's really hard to catch yourself like at the edge of like maybe getting triggered and having a big spiral.
Mm-hmm.
But like being able to catch that and like communicate that and be like, hey, I'm actually not feeling good, or like I think I'm doing this because it makes you happy.
But the irony of
that's
that
the
is
hard part.
We've from very early on, we had a rule of like not taking one for a team, because we've had experiences where I'm sure you know this too, like, we're not both equally attracted to the people, the couple, the individual, whatever.
I think that's one of the biggest challenges in this lifestyle. Like, if you are trying to have a foursome with another couple, usually one of them is a little bit more.
But the problem is, like, the irony of it was that she was people pleasing for me, and that was having the opposite effect, because I actually don't want her to be in situations where she's not super excited and happy. So her trying to go out of her way to take one for the team was actually worse for me. So it wasn't like I was winning in the equation. We were both losing.
You were both losing.
Yeah. So like, it was coming from a good place with a lot of history, but it was not making either of us happy.
Yeah.
So like, that's a big thing that we've worked through and still working through to a certain extent, but you've gotten much better about, like, we have a hard rule of like not taking one for a team.
So this year, did you come in with that?
Yes. So this year I came very prepared, and it helps that like I went through a lot of therapy over the last year, and we went through a couple therapy. But before we went to this trip, I made a safety plan for myself. And
tell us about that. I don't know what a safety plan is.
So this was from my therapist helping me through how to like mitigate triggers. And so I put a safety plan together where it was like, okay, these are my boundaries. These are how we're going to manage our arguments. If I get triggered, these are the things I need from like a mental health perspective and a physical health perspective.
Can you share what those are?
Yeah, sure. Actually, I wrote it down somewhere.
Yeah, the safety plan is great because it makes us both happier. Like, I'd rather know what's going to make her feel good, because we have talked about this a bunch. We have a lot of opportunity to be in these types of spaces. So it's not like a starvation, like this is our only chance to do something like this. So I'd rather have her feel safe and be good and all of that stuff, rather than for her to do something where she's not feeling good and then it's a trigger and like we have a worse experience together. So the safety plan was really helpful for that.
Okay.
So my safety plan, it was categorized in different sections. The first one was my intentions for this trip. I was like, okay, the Turk, I'm going to tell you all the things that I'm scared about and my intentions, my boundaries, how to manage arguments, and then how to like take care of my health and make sure that I'm feeling good physically and mentally.
Okay, so give us some specifics.
Sure.
If you're okay.
Yeah,
with that.
Okay. So for the first section, my intentions, some of them are like, I want to make new friends. I want to have group experiences that feel safe. I want to feel spoiled by you and by others, and I want to feel sexy and beautiful. For my boundaries, these ones were like pretty intense, and it was a lot of learning from our last trip.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was no record counting. So this was something we did on our first trip, and it came from excitement of being here and like having such a plentiful, you know, opportunity.
Abundance of opportunity.
Yeah. So last year, the Turk wanted to do 9 plays in 7 days.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm down. Like, I consented to that. But that put a lot of pressure on me, and it led me to situations where I was taking one for the team or saying yes to things that I wasn't actually feeling good about.
Do you guys only play together?
Yes.
Okay. So if he wants to do 9, you have to do 9 too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, we talked about doing the numbers thing because we were excited about the trip. We're both very sexual people. It was like, it's a good adventure. We like novel experiences. But the part for Super Slut that's challenging is when I say something, she takes it to be like, this has to happen. Otherwise, he's disappointed. And she has a big fear of disappointing people, the people-pleasing part. So for me, it was like something fun. If it happens, it's great. But it wasn't like, if it doesn't happen, the trip is ruined.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing her better now, after the year of being together, it's like, these are the kind of things that we had to work through. Like, if this stuff is not disappointing, if things don't go perfectly, it's just an adventure and we're in it to enjoy it and enjoy ourselves. So that's kind of the work that we've been doing.
I think that's also the difference between setting like this has to happen versus setting a flexible intention or a desire. Desire is like, I would like this to happen, but it's not like it has to happen.
It's a fun goal, but it's a nice to have, not a must have.
Yeah. I think that was something that was helpful for me and Jay too. Like, if I just put something out into the atmosphere and mm-hmm. like put it into the universe and it happens organically, like for example, this trip, I really wanted to have a spanking session. Mm-hmm. And like, I love impact play, yeah, but so it just didn't, yeah. yeah. So it didn't happen organically until last night, my second to last night here. Mm-hmm. And it was perfect. But if it hadn't happened, I would have been okay too, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
And just being okay with that and like understanding, have you guys ever been to Burning Man?
Not yet.
We wish.
We talk about a bunch.
So I've been twice, yeah. and the advice that people gave me when I went is like, there's just so much yeah. going on at any yeah. given time. That's kind of how it is here too.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to just kind of believe that wherever you are and whichever room you're in, whichever orgy you're in,
yeah.
that is where you are meant to be. And mm-hmm, that is the mm-hmm. experience you're meant to be having right now.
I like that.
And like, what can you learn from that one?
Yeah.
And not think about what you didn't do, but think yes. about what you did do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So well put.
Yeah. Thank you. okay. So we didn't get through your safety.
Oh, yes. Tools. Okay. So that was one of the boundaries.
Uh-huh. Sorry. So I just want to clarify. So not keeping a record. So yeah. you guys just...
There was no, like, we have to do 9 plays in 7 days. It's, you know, if we're saying yes to things, it's because we're excited about it.
And both of you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a fuck both. Yes from both.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And if it turns out... So one of the things I put as kind of like a little, like, bullet point under that was, like, every night's not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. Maybe one night I'm not feeling great, and I hope that he would have the space to be like, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was a big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting because I forget, coming from New York and the spaces that we're in,
yeah.
me and Jay, we play separately, mm-hmm. like whatever. We both prefer to play together if the stars align and we're yeah. both on the same page, but like there's a lot to navigate when you guys both, only play together,
yeah,
like
absolutely.
And you have to compromise. Yeah.
We've also, it's been again part of a learning journey for us, like it's more recent that we don't play separately. Like we started doing it separately, especially because of how we started our relationship, but in an effort to make sure that she feels safe and she feels good, we've kind of been like, no, let's just do it together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of that, like making sure that everyone feels great about the process.
Because mm. I've had a lot of triggers along the way in the last year,
yeah.
Not just in keto, but like other experiences we've had, and so it's been a learning experience, and I'm really grateful that he's been flexible and that we can work within this dynamic of playing together.
Elle, my co-host and I, we like to say, go at the pace of the slowest person,
mm-hmm.
and you know, she's had to in the past, like kind of, she's ready to go, and like her husband is a little bit different, like he wants to like get to know you a little
right.
bit more, and so yeah. like she had to be like, okay, what can I learn from this, like maybe I can take a step back, I don't have to see it as like stifling myself and my sexual
right.
urges, but
right.
like, okay, this is just a different experience than I would have on my own.
Yeah.
So yeah, unlearning and reframing, let's say.
Yeah.
So you had a third part to your safety, what you
yes.
would do physically and mentally to take care of yourself.
Yes. So I would say that alcohol definitely plays a role in like having like heightened feelings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so to mitigate me having like a possible like a trigger that gets exacerbated by alcohol or drugs, one of the things was, you know, we'll do like a drink an hour, like let an hour pass, make sure like I'm, you know, a little swishy, but I'm not fucked up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's been good. Like it's been like really.
You've stuck to it?
Yeah.
Good
like,
job.
Really managing drinking and making sure I feel good.
Yeah. That's why I have to stop drinking, because if I get one drink in me, I'm like, oh, that tastes yummy.
Let's do
more.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a problem for us, for me and Jay. It's like, that would be the nights that we would fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you would get triggered by the tiniest little thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So cool. Mitigating the alcohol
yeah.
and managing it.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I would say when it comes to like managing arguments, we haven't really stuck to this, but to keep it to like just 2 minutes. Like
mm-hmm.
if we're having an argument, we work together as a team to like show warmth, listen to each other, and try to find a resolution within 2 minutes.
That's a very ambitious goal.
Like, I was going to say, that
very ambitious, which is why we have not stuck to that. But, like, it was, I guess, like, the idea behind it was, like, let's work as a team. Like, we're here to figure it out and have a good time. So, like, if we're having feelings and stuff, let's talk about it and find a solution.
Yeah.
Feel better. Feel warmth. And then go back out.
Yeah, go back out. Because it sounds like if you have the goal of 2 minutes, which is very ambitious, maybe it'll be 10 minutes or 15 or 20. And that's way better than fighting for 5 hours and like being in your room all day.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much for sharing. So you want to leave us with a spicy story?
Spicy story. We'll share. For me, it was we met a couple. This is not only their first Hedo experience, this is their first lifestyle experience ever. And they looked up this place, they found it, they came out, they didn't really know what to expect. So we met them, we clicked with them, we had some really good chats, and we ended up playing together. So we were their first ever couple together. And throughout, they both have separately said to me that like this was like a very positive experience, because we also did a lot of education with them of like only an enthusiastic yes is a yes. And she, like most women, struggles with that. Like she just, like if a guy comes in like is dancing and she doesn't want to do it, she still just goes along with them. I was like, no, in those cases, if you're not feeling great, if it's a maybe, then it's a no. So I really enjoy opening people's minds up to these types of spaces, because like monogamy shouldn't be the only option, but it's only going to be a good experience if you have the right boundaries, if you understand how the setup works. So both of them have said like they felt really safe with us, they felt really good. And the play can be hard the first time, because like you're seeing your partner in a place situation for the first time. I checked in with them both next day, they said they felt great. So for me, it's more the, because we've had lots of crazy sex experiences, it's more the helping someone like explore a different way of living was probably the highlight for me.
I love that answer. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mine is a little dirty.
That's actually more exciting.
Apropos from Super Slut.
Well, so the first night that we were here, I got DP'd and then played with like three other people afterwards.
Okay, queen.
So that was just like in one night.
Had you ever been DP'd before?
It was my first DP.
High five! I did my first one at New Year's.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yay, us.
I love it.
Wow. And so were you part of that, Turk?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Were you Vag Guy or Ass Guy?
Ass Guy.
Ass Guy. Okay, cool.
And he helped set it up, too, because it was, like, a dream of mine of to do it. And then it's been about, like, finding the right person and feeling comfortable in it. It was just, like, the perfect first night Hedo.
That was a lot of fun.
A friend and stuff, so it was good.
Yay! Oh, well, thank you guys so much for being vulnerable and sharing this. I think this will really resonate with a lot of people. I'm going to take some of your tips away.
Oh,
thank you, therapist.
Thank you, therapist.
Oh my God, my therapist has changed my life, so it sounds like yours has as well.
Absolutely.
Yay, therapy. I love you. We are here with Josie and Evan. Thank you guys so much for coming on. We met this year, but it is your fourth year, correct?
Correct.
This is year four, yeah.
Okay. And Josie, I ran into you in the bathroom and I was like, how's your week going? And you were like, it's the best yet.
Yep.
So can you tell me why?
For me, it's confidence and knowing where I'm at in the lifestyle and not kind of getting over those fears and trying things that I now realize, okay, that's not for me. So just clarity on what I'm confident in, and he's clearly on the same page, which is, you know.
Well, because you guys have a different dynamic than a lot of couples we've spoken to, if you guys are willing to share what that is.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, I guess the best category we fit in that's already established would be like Stag and Vixen. So she plays...
I don't know what that is.
So it's like a distinction from like cuckold or hot wife. So there's no cuckold aspect to it. It's not humiliation. It's not just watching. It's more where I participate, but she plays with guys and girls. I just play with her. So in the case of like MFMs or something like that, it's not just a watching situation or any humiliation involved in it, like a cuckold kind of dynamic. It's more just a threesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where the focus is on you.
Yeah,
but it's not because I like it all to be on me. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I get uncomfortable with when he's sexual with other people mm-hmm. in the moment, super hot to me. Mm-hmm. For 3 years, I fucking did it and liked it in the moment. And after, I get in my head.
What goes on?
I don't, it just creates anxiety for me. It's almost a turn off to me. Mm. Like when I think about it or like replay scenes in my head, it gives me an ick feeling. Mm. And I don't even know how I can describe it to you because we're so solid that it's not like an insecurity in our relationship or anything like that. It's just...
Yeah. That's also interesting because, like, in the moment, you find it
so hot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've thought about it a lot, obviously, because it's our deal and trying to find our way and settle where we have that works for us. And I think there's a lot to it. I mean, we can get into probably, like, you know, evolution here. I mean, she's millions of years of programming tell you that, you know, your protection, your security lies here. And mm-hmm. not necessarily in a man, but just in your partner that you're going through life with, and that's a level of security. I mean, you're programmed to want to protect that. Mm. And in her and I's case, we've been together for 24 years. So
24 years, and how long in the lifestyle?
Like 5-ish.
Yeah.
Wow.
What
prompted you to open it?
I guess we've always been like sexually adventurous since the day.
Exhibitionist, big time.
Yeah. And so we were always pushing limits and stuff between the two of us over quite a long mm-hmm. time. I mean, we dated for 10 years, been married for 14. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I mean, it was probably my interest first where I just started reading about it and seeing things and start sound interesting. And seeing that other people do it, I think, like, normalizes it a bit where it's not this, like, crazy taboo thing that, you know, only weirdos and freaks do.
Yeah. I mean, we are weirdos and freaks.
Well, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
It's actually interesting with hedonism. We kind of found our path in our four trips here. Because one, I mean, we have kids at home. We have careers. We're not like every weekend lifestyle people. We're not maybe once every couple months outside of hedo. And so hedo is probably more days of lifestyle experience mm-hmm. here than we do at home. So we kind of found our path here, but it's a bumpy road because we're trying to figure out what works for us in an environment where you're sleep deprived, you're putting multiple substances in your body, and then you're trying to figure out how you feel about things afterwards.
Oh yep.
And can you trust what you're feeling? Because I know when I'm super hungover, I feel vastly different about things than I do in like a sober state.
Yeah.
I lose confidence. I start worrying about things I wouldn't worry about. I get crazy anxiety. So, yeah, so we had to kind of negotiate that in a weird environment. And, you know, I think it took like 4 years. But so, yeah, like she was saying, I mean, we tried stuff. And in her case, like she said, it's really just not a big turnoff for her after the fact. And why that is, I just think it's innate. I mean, we've been together for how long before we did open our relationship? Mm. So all these factors, I think.
So much invested after 24 years that it's different.
And we didn't just like try once and go, that didn't work or whatever. We tried it multiple times and there was better experiences than others. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it just wasn't working for her and it was creating friction between us. Mm-hmm. Just, and so I never needed equity in this. It's not important to me that I get what she gets or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, sexually, I'm most interested in seeing her have pleasure because frankly, her orgasms are far more interesting than mine are.
Yeah.
So to me, bringing another guy in the picture, it's, I don't know. It's hot.
I've spoken to a lot of guys this week that their major biggest turn on is seeing their wife get pleasured by other people. And that's so awesome. I love that. So you mentioned in the past it's been a little bit more rocky, a little bit more triggering. And this year it's been the best. So like what specifically have you changed to make this year work?
Drinking.
Ooh. Elaborate. Great answer.
So years prior, I think that you cross boundaries because you're just too drunk. And I find it like easier, like drugs, you just feel a little bit more sharp. But mm-hmm. alcohol is just, it's awful. Mm-hmm. And Evan had an issue with it. And it just gave me anxiety where I felt like, okay, if we're in a situation, is he going to cross my boundary? Is it, I questioned mm-hmm. too much. And he hasn't drank a drop of alcohol.
High five.
In a very long time. But it was really tricky coming here. It was like, how is this going to fucking work?
Yeah.
Because you might have what it's made of, you know.
And you might have boundaries set in place. But then once you drink, because this was me when I was drinking. Once you start drinking, like, everything goes out the window.
Yep. Yeah.
And like all rational thought. And
yeah.
And then maybe you'll start having a conversation with him while he's drunk. You can't speak reason to a drunk person.
It was awful.
Like, babe, we talked about this and you can't hear it.
Countless nights walking the beach. You know what I mean? Like in an argument and it's no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's always had this, she always say I have a love-hate relationship with Hito.
Yeah.
Because it's like, when it's awesome, it's so great, you know? But when things go bad, it can be real bad.
Yes.
And compiling, once again, this mental state that you might be in with the, especially the sleep deprivation.
Yes.
The first three trips here.
How much did you guys sleep last night?
Five.
We went fishing this morning, so we had to get up a little earlier than we
would. Okay, so can I clarify, since we're at Hito, did you go fishing for actual fish?
Actual fish, yeah, no.
We were not fishing for pussy at all. It was just the fish.
We went fishing.
We were in a boat fishing rods, yeah.
Okay, so 4 hours last night.
Yeah, but we've like, you know, we've made it in by like 3 a.m. a lot of nights, which, I mean, first three trips, we would see the sunrise probably five nights.
At least.
No, 5 mornings.
Yeah.
So that's been...
Evan is no longer drinking. Are you drinking?
I am, but very, I shouldn't say very little here, but like on a night that I would usually get drunk, I'll have like 3 drinks.
You're being more mindful.
Completely.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't even been drunk once.
True.
Yeah.
Because it takes both partners, I think. Because, like, okay, Evan did the work. He's not drinking. And it's like, okay, Josie doesn't have an issue, quote unquote, with alcohol. Yeah. So she can drink. But, like, then when you get wasted, like, that's still not a good dynamic.
No. And honestly, when you did the whole, was it fears, desires, boundaries? Mm-hmm. Like, we did that.
Good.
And that was one, my biggest fear was, okay, well, I'm going to get tipsy and then he's going to get annoyed because he's sober. And then I'm going to see the look and then I'm going to be fiery because I'm drunk. And then I'm going to be like, you know, so
I have that dynamic with Jay because Jay still drinks and, you know, sometimes he can, we have like friends who come here who are like big drinkers too. And they'll like go get a drink before dinner and stuff. And then I'll meet them at dinner and it's like, shots did you have, guys? So you got to watch out.
You do.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I think it's, in the past, I mean, I had an alcohol problem and I absolutely had situations where I exhibited very poor judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's also this dynamic of just, once again, the sleep deprivation, the alcohol, when you're getting like, you're drinking during the day and then you're taking it down for dinner, but you get that phase where you're kind of coming off of it. Now you got two volatile, irritable people. And something that isn't an issue another day is
a big
issue.
It's a massive issue.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and that's, I like using that word for it because it's just volatile. It's so you don't know, at any moment it could take off in another direction. And so that's what's been refreshing about this trip is, one, I discovered that, you know, I've suspected alcohol was the biggest contributor to exhibiting poor judgment. And that's been the case on this trip. I mean, I've been able to party and have a lot of fun, but I feel like my judgment's there. I feel like
you're present and mindful.
Yeah.
And I'm respectful of this, the two of you. And like, I feel like in places like this, we can forget what we go home to. It's like, oh my God, people, sex, naked. Mm-hmm. Like, this is so fucking fun. But it's like, wait a second. Like, what's actual day today? What is like, what is the priority here?
And it's huge for us connecting. Us is so huge, and I think when you're drinking and you're just like little birdies flying off in every other direction, and you don't have that connection, and that's how I felt last year. Like, we didn't spend enough alone time, we didn't I felt disconnected,
and that's why it's important to reflect after the trip and be like, okay, what are we gonna do differently next year? And set your intentions.
Yeah
I spent a lot of time on the beach reading because I need to recharge my batteries. I'm someone who, like, I am very talkative and I love talking to people, but then I'll just completely drain myself. Yeah. And so to be able to be my best self, I've needed to take that time. And I learned that from last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mental health, it's physical health, it's all of it.
Yeah.
It plays such a big part.
It's fun. Like, there's a progression for me through the week because I had concerns. It's like, I can seem like a really social guy when I'm drinking. But regular daily life, I'm not really social. You know, I'm not an introvert, but I'm not the life of the party. She is. I was worried, like, one, we're exhibitionists, so there's poolside shows and stuff like that. And I'm like, I've never done that without a drink in me. Like, you know, I haven't had that lubricant that get the inhibitions down to where I'm like, am I going to be able to do this? You know, and the first couple of days I was really questioning it. And then by like day three, I settled in enough.
You did it.
And I'm like, yeah. It was several. I mean, pool and parties and stuff. But, so that was like a big one for me. Cause I was like, man, we love doing this. And I've never done it that way. I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
But turns out I can.
Yeah.
I think it took a little settling in period.
I think that's the coolest thing. Like, I've learned that I'm way stronger and way more capable than I thought I was without alcohol.
Yeah.
Because those first couple, like, parties that you go to without alcohol, you're like, what do I do with my hands? How do I speak to a human?
So
I have to keep a drink in my hand. I was in the pool the other day and I set my drink down and I was just like, what do I do with my hands?
What do I do? Yeah. Put a dick in my mouth. My hands are free. And so is my mouth. Here we go. Okay, so two last questions. I know I'm keeping you longer than I said going to.
No worries.
But people might be listening to this and be like, oh my God, that sounds like so much fucking work. Like, it took you four trips and it was like tumultuous and volatile.
There were beautiful moments in there too.
So I guess maybe that might be the answer, but why do it? So why is this all worth it to you? Why keep with it? Why is the lifestyle for you?
For me, it might sound stupid, but it's the dressing up in sexy shit and him seeing that and just seeing him watch me across the room. And, you know, like, how often do you really get to dress up like this? Mm-hmm. Not at a normal Halloween party. Like
what? What do you wear?
Oh, God. Everything that shows everything. I mean, did you see yesterday my dress was just little chain links? Your skin, your nipples pop through. It's just hot.
Yeah.
Fetish night. She had
love this part.
A vaginal hook.
I did. Yeah.
Wait, can you describe that to me?
So it's basically a leather harness crisscrosses like most do, but so around the belly it crisscrosses and attaches to a metal rod that hooks at the bottom into the veg.
And then your
blue is filled. So that dinner table that you guys hear is all the metal on this gorgeous harness. So what does that feel like with a vaginal hook in all night?
You're definitely more aroused.
Ooh.
The point at the
heavy
end where
metal
it's
ball on it. Like,
yeah.
Let's see if you keep it in.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot of sensations. It's also, you have to forget not to sit because sitting is, it's like, you gotta. It's a little tricky. There's a learning curve to
it. Is it painful or uncomfortable if you sit?
No, neither. Oh, when you sit, you mean?
When you sit.
It's painful.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you like pain?
I like it, yes, but it's not my kink.
Okay.
Like, I like it here. I like to be whipped, but it's not my thing.
So it's rough, choked,
ass
slaps, things like that.
Definitely rough, hard. I don't like soft sex.
Okay. So you really love being able to dress up, having your man see you,
And the social part of it all.
Yeah. The social part?
Yeah, love the social part. I love the people. Like, Hedo people are the best people, I swear. Like, their souls are just good people.
Everyone's, like, warm and inviting.
Yeah.
We're all naked. There's no...
Yeah, just being
pretense, I suppose.
True. Just kindred spirits in, like, this alternate universe where the rules are very, very different and... It's fascinating. Somebody should do a study here one day on the differences from regular society to here
and
how you're able to adjust so quickly to it too.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels normal. But
and just being naked.
Yeah. I think for us, like, it's never the lifestyle stuff has never been the point. when we come here, like we don't make plans. We actually don't really approach people for that reason. Things just kind of happen. Every time we come here, we just kind of,
well, because you're both fucking gorgeous, so you don't need to approach people. People can just come up to you and be like, hey, so yeah, what's your deal?
They don't, but it's
not as frequent as like other friends of ours that are, yeah. I don't know if we give off a vibe or something, but
I bet it's intimidation. I've been speaking to a lot of women here where like we're talking about, I don't know, the most beautiful women, I'm intimidated to go talk to them.
And why? Like, you're the gorgeous. Most,
well, so are you. Do you feel intimidated to go talk to beautiful women sometimes?
Maybe sometimes.
Yeah, like sometimes. It's just a thing. It's so strange. Like, and we're all sitting there like, why do we feel this way? I mean, and like, I wouldn't have been able to go up to you. I'm mostly hetero. I'm hetero flexible, but like, I would have been way too intimidated to go up and talk to you if like your friend had not introduced you guys to us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's my theory. I think you guys are not getting approached because people are intimidated.
And after meeting you with your personality, I would have gathered the vibe that you walk up to pretty much anybody. It seems like you like to be social.
I do like to be social. You know what? When I have like icebreaker cards in my hands, that's a really easy way. Yeah. It's a horrible life plug.
Which is why we have the Telestrations After Dark there. Yes. That we're like, oh, that's a great icebreaker.
We love Telestrations After Dark.
We never even opened it. Like every day we forget it.
You don't need it here. I find that in like places we go to back in New York, I do need more icebreakers, but here, to your point, Hito people are just like such an incredible breed of people. Like we can just fucking talk right. about anything. Yeah, and everybody's open to it. So, okay, last question. What are you going to take into, are you coming back next year?
Yes.
What are you going to take into next year's trip? What's a takeaway? What's a tip for someone else?
For me, one of the biggest differences from any other trip this year is like comfortability. And like, I had like almost a checklist, these things in my mind I wanted to accomplish while we were here. And then at the end of the trip, I'm looking back and going, well, we didn't do that. We didn't do this. I think it's better to look back and go, well, we did do this. We did do that. We did, and be more kind of grateful for what you were able to do, because you're not going to do everything. And there's always next year. Mm-hmm. And it's not like your last chance to do everything either. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to like get the FOMO side going and get disappointed that you didn't do something you wanted to and forget about all the awesome things you did. And this year I had like way less FOMO. I was just relaxed. It's like, you know what? We were planning to do this, but we need a nap. You know.
Yeah.
You got to do that self-care.
And that was a big one for me. I get much more FOMO than she does, but I didn't have any of those feelings this trip. You know, I didn't have a checklist for one. And you always say no expectations, but I think earlier, our first few trips, there were kind of some.
Yeah. It's like we're going to fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to chop it all up. Yeah.
And this year, I really didn't feel like it didn't. I was satiated by Wednesday. I told her that. Yeah. I was like, I don't really need anything else to happen this week. Like,
mm-hmm. I felt the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because also, I'm sure you guys have the same experience. You've been coming year after year. People who come here, they book for the next year immediately. And so like we keep seeing the same people. And so like people that I didn't get to play with last year, or like only have very limited time mm-hmm. with or something, it's like, sure. Oh, I'll see them next year.
Right. Yeah.
And you can add on to whatever foundation you built last year, and it's so much more meaningful.
For sure.
And
really, I think that's
sexy.
The comfortability level too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you're surrounded, because even if he would, you know, go away from me for a minute to go somewhere, I always knew somebody mm-hmm. that I felt like, I don't want to use the word safe, but like, you know.
No, safe. Safe.
Yeah. I completely agree. I was so comfortable. And every year I get more comfortable because I know more people every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Safe makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. So if you were satiated by Wednesday, I keep saying last question. One more question.
Ask away.
If you were satiated by Wednesday, tell us a sexy story.
I was satiated.
You didn't see any of them, right?
I don't think I did.
Okay.
I was satiated by Wednesday, but this actually happened Thursday. It's a bonus. At the fetish party.
Yeah.
So in the courtyard, they had like, you know, the bed set up in there. So, we were just having a good time dancing, you know. And that's something too with a friend. Like sometimes you got to break away and just get a moment alone. And so we kind of did that, and we were out just dancing in the courtyard.
Just the two of you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I was wearing like this leather kilt thing, and she was really fascinated with just being able to reach under it and grab my dick whenever she wanted to. So that, you know, leads to some arousal. And so the next thing you know, I'm standing in the middle of the courtyard. She's on her knees blowing me. So I always tell her, like, I'll get this moment where I'll feel bold. Like, I'm not really a performative person like that where I'm super confident, but here and other places, I'll get a feeling. That's why I was wondering if that feeling was booze induced, but turns out it's not. Mm-hmm. So I got that feeling. So the next thing you know, we're going over to one of those red beds that were out there. And so what we laid down,
he's like, pull your hook out.
pull your hook out so I can put something else in.
Oh, it was so fucking hot. It was so hot.
So yeah, so she started riding me, and she's a prolific orgasmer and even as much a prolific squirter. And
that's my embarrassment.
Yeah, like she tries not to do it.
Yeah.
And it's because I tell her all the time, there's a small population of people who don't like it. I think it's vastly more that do, but she gets a little self-conscious about it sometimes. Or she thinks people think she's like trying to show off her party trick or something.
Yeah.
like no more poolside shows. People are trying to hold it in.
Yeah.
It's egregious now.
I don't want to be that girl.
Let it go, girl.
Yeah, so she was riding me. She like when she orgasms, she often just stands up. She stands up and she starts kind of doing a little dance. And she's just squirting everywhere. It's pouring all over me. It's soaking down the bed. And, you know.
And were people watching?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
So then, the hottest part about it.
Yeah.
That's why I can't control it. Yeah. Because knowing what's around me is the hottest part. Like, I love people watching. Mm. That I can't hold it in. Like, I'm so aroused by that. Mm. Obviously by this. But
she's referring to Evan's dick.
That show was pretty hot.
Oh, I'm sad I missed it.
That was
Encore tonight?
Probably. Yeah. You were at the party last night. We had an encore there. But when I look back over all our trips here, I mean, most of my favorite moments weren't with other people. It's usually like, you know, I think probably our favorite thing is really the exhibitionism. Mm-hmm. It's just something hot about lots of people watching.
Thank you guys so much for coming on, sharing your story.
Thanks for having us.
We just want to normalize these conversations.
Well, that's what's made me feel more comfortable with it all, is listening to you guys and hearing other people's stories. That's like, okay, I'm not a weirdo.
There's a lot of fucking shit that goes into this to make it work. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great last night, Adhita.
Well, I hope I can make your night by watching the show. Put on a little squirt show for you, honey.